Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. It's a Wednesday edition. We're getting close to Christmas. Today's program will be joined by JC from a closet. And then second portion of the show will be joined by the Orlando Sentinel's Mike Bianchi, talking a little bit about everything. So let's go to the Titan MR hotline. And we're joined. JC is not in the Crime Prevention Security System studio.
No, I'm in the.
Look, you look like you're in the warehouse back at Walmart or somewhere.
I'm in the Crime Prevention Security Systems pantry in D'Iberville, Mississippi. In D'Iberville, Mississippi, where they still root for the Bulldogs at 3-6.
JC, you can't be moving around because your internet connection in the pantry is not great.
Okay,
so you got to get in a good spot and not move.
Oh, sorry. Okay, do we have a signal?
Yes, we have you. So do not move. You stay
okay
right
now?
There. Don't move.
Okay.
Okay, so JC, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. some breaking news yesterday. Okay. First of all, the good news: Keontae Johnson has left Shands Hospital, gone home with his family. He's done for this year. We don't know what his career is. You know, there's reports saying that it's this myocarditis issue after COVID. But I talked to some doctors when all this stuff was going on. Even when you have the normal flu or you have any kind of virus, it affects your heart in some capacity. This isn't a doctor session here. But so basically what I'm saying is Florida also tests. Every year, they do all these heart tests for myocarditis and all this kind of stuff. It's just, it's weird how it happened. Hopefully, that's not the case. But the best thing about it is Keontae Johnson is out of the hospital.
Oh, I mean, without a doubt. And his life is more important than anything that's, than anything else. And certainly that was the thing. The Florida State folks in Tallahassee did a great job. The team rallied around. And certainly sent many prayers for Keontae, and it's a shame, but this is his health we're talking about, and that's the biggest thing that he has to concern himself with right now. As far as basketball goes, the team will continue on, but I think it was appropriate that they skipped some games just to be, closer to him as he went through this.
Yeah, and then the other news that broke yesterday, the NCAA slapped Florida on this little – they called it probation. They gave Coach Mullen a level 2, which is a show cause, which I think is totally ridiculous. It should not be a level 2. I think it's not a big deal. Of course, the national media is going to make it be a big deal. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, it's not the kind of press you want. Obviously, nobody wants this. But so what really happened? If you read the story in The Athletic by Andy Staples, who you've had on this show, it can really go into the details. But after reading it, this involved a kid in Seattle, Washington in 2019 that both he and Jimbo Fisher were looking at. And when you're talking to the kid's head coach and the kid's in the room, that apparently is an impermissible contact. And he wasn't allowed to be around this kid up until July 1st of 2019. And again, this is almost 2 years ago. And, with everything we've gone through in college football, we're talking about in Washington, edge rusher named Savelle Smalls at Garfield High School in Seattle. And that contact with him in the room, even though he may not have even said anything to him other than hello and how you doing, is a violation. And then we had a story about a bunch of 7-on-7 teams rushing on down to Tampa and stopping in Gainesville, which is the normal thing to do on I-75 as you're heading south, and taking a look at some of the facilities at the University of Florida. And that's impermissible. I think a lot of this stuff is what they pick and choose to scrutinize. And certainly they picked on Dan in this case. Maybe they're not happy with Dan for some reason. I don't know all the insides and outs. But as I read that story from Andy Staples, I tried to figure out, like, how is this out of the ordinary of what goes on in normal operating procedure? And I certainly am not well-versed on the NCAA compliance protocols for recruiting football players. But I just don't see what the big deal is other than, okay, they had an impermissible contact before a certain date on the calendar. There you go. And so now he can't visit off campus. You know, he can't go off campus for 7 days during an early recruiting period or evaluation period, let's say, in 2021. That's a penalty. So that's what they're going to slap him with. And I don't know. It's just not the kind of press you want to read about during a time like this. Certainly he has had some issues with the media and some of the things that have happened. I go back to the Missouri game when Kyle Trask got hit late and we had the big brush up on the middle of the field. He goes in the locker room. He comes out of the locker room. He's doing all this. And then we have a couple of other things that just got some attention that I guess he didn't really need, but I didn't consider it that big a deal. None of this is all emotional. This is an emotional game, and football is an emotional game. And Dan Mullen's an emotional coach, and his job is to get his team ready every week they play. And a lot of times people do it different ways. And Dan, I don't think, does anything that would be considered so outrageously out of the ordinary or atypical that would bring about this kind of attention. But I guess it does. And I don't understand that.
Well, you know, the whole NCAA thing, I think, is totally ridiculous. You know, him having a show cause is that's just stupid, in my opinion. You talked about the 7-on-7 teams. I can't tell you how many calls I get from former teammates or friends of a friend who have a kid on the 7-on-7 team, or they're coaching a 7-on-7 team in Virginia or Atlanta or wherever, and they're going down, as you said, I-75 to Orlando or IMG or somewhere for these 7-on-7 tournaments. Hey, can you call somebody over at UF and give our kids a tour? Well, that's fine. I do that. And they get a tour of the facility. They get to walk in the swamp, take pictures, all that. And some of those kids may be recruits. Some of them may never play another down of football in their
life.
That's
right. That's right.
If Coach Mullen happens to be on the bike, you know, down there BSing with Coach Spurrier while they're riding the bike, working out, he goes and showers, walks out of the locker room, and hears a bunch of kids touring it. He can't talk to them. I mean,
it's crazy. And, you know, Fisher had a 6-month show cause that basically banned him from calling, texting, and email any recruits for 9 days in January of this year. So that's what we're talking about. It's just a way of keeping this coach away from the players that, you know, he may be trying to recruit during an evaluation period. And that's what the show cause penalty means for those of us who aren't up to date on that. So I just think that, you know, we'll move on from it. I got to be honest. I'm thinking more about this Cotton Bowl game and what Florida's going to have in terms of, you know, players and people ready to play against an Oklahoma team that's basically busing down from Norman, a 3-hour bus ride to Jerry World, who's been playing very good football here and won the Big 12 Conference for the 4th year in a row, something like that, or 6th year in a row, maybe. Actually, I think it was a 6th year in a row. So Oklahoma is not a team you want to come into without a full holster, let's say. And I think Florida might be in this case, and that doesn't bode well at all.
Well, I know Oklahoma's had a couple of defensive backs opt out, get ready for the draft. We know Pitts has opted out. It would not shock me if we have 3 or 4 more players by the time we may not even hear about it until they run out of the tunnel. You know, it's going to be an interesting game, as you said. The whole bowl situation, I mean, we just played a championship game the other night, and there's been bowl games every day since. Florida's only going to practice, and these practices are just going to be, you know, basically walkthroughs. They're going to practice like Saturday and Sunday, or Sunday, Monday, and then fly out on Tuesday and play on Wednesday. So it's very strange, the whole deal, but I'm anxious to see who plays for us. But like I said, I don't think we'll hear about it, but I could be wrong. JC, did you watch any of BYU UCF last night?
I was traveling, but I kept up with it on my phone and looked at the BYU blowout. And I could think of is, did UCF just not want to be there, or did they just get buried?
No, BYU came to play. And, they of course, buried. The quarterback buried. That I absolutely love, I think he's going to be – he might be the second quarterback taken now ahead of Fields. Zach Wilson, he was unbelievable last night. You know, he has a little bit of Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers in him. He can move around. He's athletic. Can make all the throws. So I'm anxious to see. But I think he's going to go ahead of Justin Fields personally.
How about BYU playing 11 games this year and trying to find opponents as we went through the initial phases of the season? And I got to tell you, man, if you want to tip your cap to anybody, you do it to BYU. And how some conference doesn't pick them up and throw them in their league really is hard for me to understand. They find players, and they are competitive. And, yeah, I agree with you. Wilson is as good as advertised. I mean, they scored 21, 14, and 14 points in the first three quarters alone. That's 49 points in the first three quarters and then took the gas off the pedal or pedal off the gas. So I don't know. I think you're right. This kid is a special player. He'll be drafted high, make a lot of money, and good for him. I don't know. I mean, BYU's had a history of good quarterbacks. I mean, you know, Steve Young.
Yeah. I mean, when I was growing up a young kid in Mississippi where, you know, you didn't get a whole lot of games on TV. But anytime Steve Young was playing or Robbie Bosco or McMahon.
Jim McMahon.
I love BYU. They
can play. They can play.
JC, I got a text here on the Titan Mark text line. It comes from Joe. He says, do we know who the assistant coach that was penalized along with Mullen? Did it say in that article?
It did not. Wait. Yes, it did. It did. And I can tell you that here in just a moment. It was – they said at first it was an unnamed coach, but give me a second. Let me scroll through this story. I didn't read the whole thing from cover to cover. I just wanted to know what the basic issues were. And let's see. The head coach at Seattle was a guy named Joey Thomas. Let's see. The coach, the assistant coach. Give me a minute. I think they did. I
got a text from a former player who's also a college coach. He goes,
yeah,
is JC really in a pantry doing your podcast this morning?
We got a lot of nice things in here. Some decaf, we got some Jif. I mean, QB, you're a big peanut butter guy. I know you love you some Jif.
That was crunchy. I don't do crunchy. I'm more of a smooth guy.
How about this one?
Oh,
creamy.
That's good stuff.
That's all you, QB. I mean, I can go on and on. My sister-in-law does not miss the grocery store. That's for sure. Actually, nobody in Mississippi misses a meal. How about that? I mean, eating is a very high priority thing here in the state of Mississippi.
Okay.
And God bless them.
How
about this? I got the name. Mullen and an unnamed assistant safeties coach, Ron English, according to a source.
Okay. We got a Facebook Live here brought to you by Metal Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. And we are coming to you live from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios and the Crime Prevention Pantry.
That's right.
Joe wants to know, what do you guys think of the Auburn hire?
You know, I tell you, Auburn, for all of the scrutiny of really losing out, I think found themselves a pretty darn good guy. Now, I don't know what Brian Hartsick thinks of or knows about the southeastern part of the country and recruiting in the southeast part of the country. But for a guy who recruited and coached in the northwest part of the country in about as a rural a place as South Alabama, it would be Idaho, and they won football games there. Now, was he there when they won that Fiesta Bowl, QB? I think
no.
He was.
And as a coach?
Yeah.
You're talking about over Oklahoma?
Yeah. Back then?
No.
He wasn't?
He's like 7 years younger than me. He's like 43 years old.
Look him up. You might be surprised because I was reading about him. And
he wasn't the coach. You talking about, was he an assistant or a player?
No, an assistant on the staff. I mean, he may have been. But the point is, who was the coach at Boise State that year they beat Oklahoma?
Was it Chris Peterson? No, I don't even think it was Chris Peterson.
I don't think it was.
I don't know. You just ask questions that we don't know the answers to.
Well, I know, because we don't really focus on Boise State, but the question begs, is this guy a good hire? I think he will be, but I think Auburn fans have to be patient. He's not going to jump out there and get all the five stars that they need to beat Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. I mean, Auburn's schedule of all the teams in the SEC on a year-in and year-out basis is harder than any other school because they play LSU, Alabama, and Georgia every single year. That is – and then Texas A&M. That is – you know, it's hard. And then what do they do? In the good old days, they would play Auburn – or they would play Georgia and the SEC championship literally back-to-back. They would play Alabama, Georgia, and the SEC championship. I mean, that's an impossible scenario for a team to get through healthy, and that's why they lost to UCF, because Kerryon Johnson wasn't even available to play in the game.
We have our loyal listeners are saying Chris Peterson was the coach back then.
One said
Dan Hawkins. I don't know. I think it was Chris Peterson when they upset him. But
well, this guy that Auburn hired, I think was on the staff. I mean, I think he was part.
He took over
Boise State.
He took over the head coach
all time.
He took over the head coaching job when Gus left Arkansas State. He became the head coach at Arkansas State. How about that nugget? So he followed Gus there, and he's following Gus now.
There's another nugget.
We have multiple people arguing, but some people say Chris Peterson. Some people say it was Dan Hawkins. First of all, I got a text here from on the Titan MR text line. I'm not going to read it. It's extremely long. Our good friend Ryan from High Springs says he loves our show. He's catching up on it because he's been on his 24th wedding anniversary trip. And congratulations to you, Ryan. Appreciate you listening to the show.
QB, I lost you there for a moment.
Yeah, you got bad service in the pantry. Yeah.
People, not to be repetitive, but I didn't hear you.
You need to move just a little bit so you get better service. Well, in the meantime, I'm going to read a couple of live reads here. Refresh your vehicle and your brand with a vehicle wrap from WrapSpot. December is your lucky month at WrapSpot. Mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. You're watching and listening to Pot It with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Don't forget the second portion of the show. We'll be joined by Mike Bianchi from the Orlando Sentinel. Get his thoughts on the SEC championship game, the Heisman, and everything else going on in the sports world. JC, are you back or did we lose him? Okay, we must have lost him. In the meantime, I got a bunch of texts and stuff here that I can read. Our friend Jerry says here on Facebook Live, can we get a hotspot in the pantry? Come on, man. I agree. That's the first time in pod. There he is. He's back. Right. He's outside now. Can you hear me, JC?
It's only 32 degrees. Yeah, I can hear you. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, you like it. It's football weather, right? It's football weather, so suck it up. So, JC,
it's cold,
real quick, yeah. we only got about five more minutes with you.
Okay.
I just want to get your thoughts, and I think we talked about it briefly on Monday. Just the 4-team playoff. They have got to expand the playoffs. They have to. I think TV is going to make that decision for them here in the next couple of years, because when you take the Cotton Bowl and you take the Orange Bowl, some of these other bowls that really don't mean anything right now.
Right.
They have to implement every major bowl, in my opinion, into the playoff system, because the TV folks ain't going to start paying all this money. Think about it. Let's just say Kyle Trask was playing. We were playing Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray or one of the Jalen Hurts was one of their quarterbacks. What if Kyle Trask and their quarterback sits out? Nobody wants to watch it now. You know, so you got to make that game mean something.
Yeah, and a lot of times that's been the problem with bowl games. They just haven't meant anything. And so these playoff games are certainly the vital part of college football's, you know, postseason heartbeat, and you have to make it as good as you can. Now, some folks would rather see the BCS come back and have the first top two teams, because of all the blowouts we've had in the semifinals here as we started this 4-team playoff. But I think if you move it to 6 or 8 teams, you're going to get a better, more inclusive, diverse field, and that's going to help the game. I certainly think that 6 would be good, where you could take if you took all of the conference champions, you would take out a lot of this baloney that we hear on ESPN and all of these data points and all this garbage, and you'd basically have the committee or somebody pick one team, and you would give the top two seeds the week off and let the other four play on campus and then we would have a 4-team playoff when those other two games are played, and then the top two seeds would play the winners. Why can't we do something as simple as games on campus? It doesn't involve a lot of traveling, and it does for two of the four teams, but it certainly doesn't for the others. And then you have your four teams after that. I mean, that would give two more teams an opportunity to play for the national title. Whether you think Cincinnati deserves to be in or not is arbitrary, but I do think that you have a team that won a conference that is competitive that has an argument. Same with Texas A&M. How would it be if we had Texas A&M, Cincinnati, and the other teams playing in a 6-team playoff in order to have a more inclusive playoff that would take away some of all this ridiculous conversation that we waste our time on a yearly basis? It just goes on and on and on. We knew that the branding of Ohio State would get them in. We knew that when the Big Ten changed their rules, which is their right. I mean, they can do whatever they want in their conference, but it makes them look silly. It makes them look like they're just making it up as they go because somebody has a brand name and a silver helmet. And by the way, they won five games. So this is the only chance we have of collecting $17 million for our conference. It takes away the whole meaning of what A&M did in Cincinnati. I mean, we can go through this for hours.
Yep. This Day in Sports brought to you by Comfort Simp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. This month, get a free annual maintenance plan with every residential duct cleaning purchase, which is $199 value. Our service department's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for your convenience. This Day in Sports, JC, 1972. Okay? You're a young buck. One of the greatest plays in the history of the National Football League, especially for the black and gold. The Immaculate Reception.
Oh, yes.
Happened on this day.
Yes.
The Steelers turn around a 7-6 defeat with a last-second touchdown reception, and they won 13-7. What was that, Franco Harris that caught that?
Franco caught it, and Jack Tatum caused it. And let me tell you, the way Jack Tatum played for Oakland back then, and on that hit specifically, he would have been suspended so many games after that. Because that dude was an assassin, and that's what his nickname was. And that hit, it was crazy that Pittsburgh pulled that off from John Madden. But, the Oakland Raiders won their share, too. They did.
So you got about five more minutes here. Let's talk real quick. We were talking before the show. Dabo. Okay. A lot of people aren't real happy with Dabo. He ranked Ohio State in his coaches' poll 11th, talking a lot of smack. You think he reminds me of so much of Coach Spurrier now, says what's on his mind. He don't give a damn what people think. And he learned from Coach Spurrier. They're very close friends. I still think the team in the orange helmets with the Paul are going to roll the Buckeyes. You think the other way around, right?
Well, I tell you, you have a good reason to think that. Clemson has owned this team. I mean, they beat them every time they seem to play them. At some point, it's going to change. I think last year Ohio State was the better team, but we're not talking about last year. And Chase Young is not there for Ohio State, so I get that. But when was the last time you had a chance to take the Ohio State Buckeyes and 7.5 points? Now, as far as winning the game outright, that's tough to say with Trevor Lawrence and the way Clemson's looking right now, especially with the way they are playing defense. But I think for some reason Ohio State's going to keep this game close. They're going to play with purpose. They're going to get a lot of players back that they didn't have in their Big Ten championship. And speaking of the Big Ten, by the way, that championship game in Indianapolis – that conference is so lame, they couldn't even take the Indianapolis Colts helmet off the field and put the damn logo on it like they did for the SEC championship with the Falcons. I mean, they left the Indianapolis Colts helmet on the field.
I saw it. It's ridiculous.
They're so bad. But I think Ohio State is going to play. I think they're going to play with them. I think they're going to get a lot of players back that they didn't maybe have in the Northwestern game, and they're going to play better than they did. Look, Ohio State. Everyone seems to want to conveniently forget that they were beating Indiana 35-7. And then Indiana came back. Okay, great. But they were up 35-7.
Ohio it's State's Indiana,
as many
JC.
Athletes as anybody else.
Indiana.
That's a
if
good
I sat here, if I sat here and told you, if I sat here and told you the Florida Gators' best wins this year were against Indiana and Northwestern, what would you think?
No, I would say, well, you didn't play anybody.
Yeah, okay then. That's what my point is.
But that's not what the committee – I'm starting to
the committee went by TV ratings and brand name. That's the only reason they did it.
Sure. Well, yeah, but you have to admit that there's a lot of players on that Ohio State roster, bro.
Yeah, and
that
but hey.
Line, they're all going to get drafted in the early
rounds. What the hell's that got to do with playing college football and being the best looking team?
I think – well, here's what I think it will have to do with. When you have all those players and all that ammo locked up and loaded and ready to go, I think for one game you can get those kids focused and ready to play a team that they have not beaten in many, many years. So they'll be very highly motivated, and Clemson will get their best shot. I can promise you that. And if I were betting on it, and I was wanting 7.5 points, and I had Ohio State, this would be the best opportunity, wouldn't it? So it's a lot of points. Yep. But you're calling a blowout, so probably
I'm calling blowout. Kyle says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Melton Law, he says, I believe Clemson will beat Ohio State really bad. In fact, to a pulp. He spelled it wrong. Pulp. Yeah, I think they beat
Ohio State. Everybody hates Ohio State right now. But let me tell you, the truth is that the team has nothing to do with what the incompetence of their league is. And yes, they didn't look great against two teams on their schedule, and they beat these other four teams that shouldn't even be playing football this year. I mean, they were so bad this year. Penn State, Michigan State, Rutgers. You know, they didn't play Michigan, but they would have beaten them by 50. They beat a lot of bad teams. Okay, so great. They only played six games. Not their fault, but that's just the world we are in right now, QB. I get it.
Here's JC. Let's be honest here. The reason you are all on the Ohio State bandwagon is because you are praying that Alabama doesn't see the team in orange.
I didn't say anything about that. I'm not talking about
I know Alabama exactly right what now. You're thinking, because you hate the team in orange because you know they're pretty damn good.
Well, they, with that guy at quarterback, are, you know, that guy's only lost one game. One game. And last year, again, though, I thought Ohio State was the better team. I thought
what game did he lose?
He lost the LSU game.
Oh, that's
he
right.
lost the championship game. And look, Alabama and LSU could have a very similar type of season where they give up a lot of points, but the offense is so good it's unstoppable, and maybe they outscore Clemson. Look, I feel a lot more confident about this Alabama team playing Clemson now than I have in prior years. I will tell you that, because they will score points on Clemson. But the problem they have is matching up with those receivers and that running back and that quarterback, like everybody does with Clemson. And Dabo, look, he's a very good coach. I mean, he has now gone through it. He got his butt kicked early in his career. Spurrier let him have it. But then he turned that whole state around, and Clemson dominates South Carolina in every way, shape, or form. And that started well before Spurrier left.
Yep. Well, JC, we got to let you go. Right. Have a great Christmas, my man. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay. Peace. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
All right. At Center State Bank, we put business first. We're the largest community bank in the state of Florida, and understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. Center State has four convenient Alachua County locations to serve you better. Center State Bank, member FDIC. Going to take our first time out of the pro. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mikey Bianchi from the Orlando Sentinel. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
This is Shane Matthews. Thank you for listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. You can also check me out on Inside the Huddle with Steve Russell and the head ball coach, Steve Spurrier. Tune in every Tuesday during football season on WRUF 98.1 FM, 850 AM at 10 o'clock in the morning, or find us on your favorite podcast platform.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Ribs, Doreen Wiebe, Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Davis Gainesville Chevrolet, Miapa Latin Cafe, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside,
Radware for all your promotional needs,
Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TB Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Dar Shakow Insurance.
If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, you can visit our website, potupwithshane.com, and click the advertise button, or call Freddie at 352-284-3733. Again, thank you for all the great businesses that support the show. Please remember, if you like what we are doing here, thank our sponsors and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Celebration points where the Gators come to celebrate with premium brands like Bass Pro Shop, Palmetto Moon, Medici's, Nike, The Keys, Grill and Piano Bar. Opening soon, Dave and Buster's, in coming spring of 2021. The HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill and Visor's Rooftop Bar. We'll see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. We're now going to go to the Titan MR hotline, and we're joined by our good friend from the Orlando Sentinel, Mike Bianchi, the All-American from Interlochen. What's going on, Mikey? How are you?
We are the Rams, the mighty, mighty Rams. Do it to them. Do it to them. Interlochen Rams.
What was the Rams' record this year?
The Rams' record this year. I'm not sure about that. Probably not very good, though.
Yeah, they need to. Maybe you should go back and be the coach of the Interlochen Rams. Give up radio and writing.
After I graduated from there and I went to journalism school at UF, I went back to Interlochen High School to do a story on my old team where I was going to scrimmage with them. I scrimmaged with my old high school football team. They put me in at running back. First play, I broke my ankle. So that was the end, that was the end of my scrimmage.
Well, Mike, we appreciate you joining us this morning. Let's talk real quick, just your thoughts on the Gator football season. And, you know, you wrote a great article talking about moral victories or what have you against Alabama. Just kind of give us a recap of what you thought.
Yeah, no moral victories if you're the University of Florida. The Florida Gators don't do moral victories. Vanderbilt does. South Carolina does. Maybe even Tennessee does moral victories these days. But no, the Gators are not in the moral victories. No, again, they covered the spread against Alabama. That's great. They played them close. They got within a touchdown at the end. But when your defense gives up 603 yards of total offense and you score 46 points and you lose the game, again, I don't think that's something to feel good about, especially coming off the heels of that embarrassing loss to LSU.
Right. Okay. Hang on a second. You said giving up all those yards and 52 points. What are you thinking if you're an Alabama fan? You gave up a ton of yards and you gave up 46 points.
Yeah. I mean, for us old school SEC fans, that was an embarrassment. That was like Big 12 football. That was like the old whack football. Big 12. Well, this is that's SEC. What you're gonna,
you got to get used to it. They're not going to have any nose guards like Mike Bianchi playing here anymore. You know, it's too hard. I'm a huge offensive guy for sure.
I know you are.
But it's impossible to play defense these days. Think about how many pass interference calls were called in that game the other night on both teams. And then, you know, Pat Surtain, the second or the third or what junior, whatever he is, he's the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Had perfect coverage. Trask makes a perfect throw. Grimes goes up, makes an unbelievable catch, touchdown. I just think it's impossible to cover people these days.
Yeah, and I agree with you about the defensive numbers. I mean, I know Todd Grantham's getting all sorts of heat from Gator fans. I've been covering UCF football as well. Randy Shannon has been getting all sorts of heat as UCF's defensive coordinator. When you have these offenses, Shane, and you know this better than anyone, you know more offense than anybody but the head ball coach, all right? When you have these offenses playing tempo and running 100 plays a game, those numbers are going to come from somewhere, and they're going to come from the defense. If the offense is putting up all these big numbers, then defenses are going to be giving up big numbers. So, yeah, you're right.
That's true. Okay, so Gators lose. I mean, honestly, the Gators played way better than I ever thought they were. I thought, especially when we were down 17-18.
You're giving them a moral victory.
I'm not giving them a moral victory. I mean, Alabama is just – it's a machine right now, and it's the best Alabama offense I've seen in my – it's the best college offense, that balanced college offense I've ever seen. So, anyway, we shut them out in the third quarter now, Mikey. They scored 0 points.
You're right. And, again, if they'd have played that way and not had the loss against LSU the week before, then maybe I'd give them – a little bit of a moral victory, but that game against Alabama, even though they played him close, that doesn't make up that LSU loss. That's one of the worst losses in school history.
I agree 100% with that, and it was a total team loss, all three phases, not just Marco Wilson. All three phases lost that game. Okay, let's talk about Kyle Trask. You've been covering the Gators forever. Phenomenal year. Great kid, great player. I'm so happy for him. The dude is second team All-SEC quarterback, voted by the coaches, not by you guys, not you writers, but by the coaches. Were you surprised at that?
Well, Mac Jones is the first team All-SEC quarterback, and he did win the head-to-head battle. Although, I mean, Mac Jones, as you mentioned, he as many offensive weapons as Florida has, Mac Jones has even more offensive weapons, and he has a running game, all right, which Florida doesn't have. So, no, I mean, I voted for the Heisman, and I'm not supposed to reveal who my Heisman vote goes to, but let me just put it this way, all right? Kyle Trask did nothing in that game to minimize his Heisman chances in my book, all right? I think Kyle Trask had the best year of any quarterback out there. When you look at what he did, it's not just the offensive numbers he put up. He elevated that Florida offense. When he got put in as quarterback at the University of Florida, he elevated that offense to an offense that we haven't seen since the Spurrier days when it comes to putting the ball in the air. So to me, Kyle Trask gets extra credit because the Florida offense had been so bad for so long, and he gets put in at quarterback, and boom, they're one of the top offenses in the country.
So second team All-SEC, the SEC Offensive Player of the Year goes to Devontae Smith from Alabama. Is there any way Kyle Trask can win the Heisman Trophy, not be first-team quarterback in his conference or the player of the year in his conference? Do you think that's a possibility?
I think it is a possibility. I think he has – I'm not saying he's the front runner to win the Heisman, but I still think he has a decent chance of winning the Heisman Trophy. Now, will Mac Jones probably win it because he won the head-to-head battle and he did throw for 418 yards and 5 touchdowns in the SEC championship game? Yeah, he'll probably win it, but I'll tell you what, I think Kyle Trask, if he doesn't win it, will finish second ahead of Trevor Lawrence. I do.
Yeah, I don't think, I saw somewhere where somebody was saying, we're going to talk about this, the 14 playoff. Why should Trevor Lawrence be penalized for not playing as many games as the other guys when Ohio State can only play 6 games to get into the 14 playoff?
Yeah, you're right. Dabo Swinney can't have it both ways, though. He can't say, hey, Ohio State, they don't belong in the playoff. But Trevor Lawrence, even though he played a lot less games than the other guys, he deserves the Heisman. That's sort of speaking out of both sides of your mouth a little bit.
Do you think, because, I saw a stat or what have you of the Heisman Trophy winners that didn't play on the undefeated national championship teams. And I think the last one that had 3 losses, but I believe Lamar Jackson, I want to say Tebow, when he won it, we had 3 or 4 losses.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time. Do you think that's what could hurt Kyle, is because we're sitting at 8-3?
Yeah, it could. And again, the LSU loss, that could hurt him as well. I mean, he did contribute to the LSU loss. There's no question about that. So that LSU loss, to me, if Kyle Trask doesn't win the Heisman, it's not because he lost the head-to-head matchup with Alabama. It's because of that LSU loss. That loss got so much adverse publicity for the University of Florida, not because of Kyle Trask, but the Gators were just sort of a laughingstock after the way they lost the game with the thrown shoe. It became a internet, a viral internet memes about the thrown shoe. So I think that may cost Kyle Trask more than anything.
Yeah. We're speaking with Mike Bianchi from the Orlando Sentinel. You can follow him on Twitter at Bianchi Writes here on the Titan Amore Hotline from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Okay. 14 playoff. Did you agree with it?
No, I really didn't. But I'll say this. I don't think there's anything that the playoff committee could have done that was going to please everybody. I mean, come on. If they would have left Ohio State out, you would have had people screaming about that. The Group of Five coalition is screaming about Cincinnati being left out. Texas A&M, they have an argument to be in as well. I agree with Dabo Swinney. I agree with Dan Mullen about Ohio State. All right. I don't think you should be let into the playoff just because you're Ohio State and just because you're a storied program and you're probably one of the best four teams in the country. All right. When you look at Ohio State's resume this year, 6 games in a bad Big Ten where Michigan was bad, Penn State was bad. Indiana almost came back on Ohio State. They barely beat Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game. There's nothing about Ohio State's resume this year that says they're one of the four best teams in the country. And the Gators proved that the more games you play, even if it's against weaker competition, you can lose at the end of the season. I don't know if it was you or somebody who said, I think it might have been you who said Vanderbilt always gave you guys trouble, all right, because you're playing them near the end of the season. You've been banged up and battered, and you played your big games all year. So, and then here comes Vanderbilt, and they're going to give you a tough game. Well, I think that's the same thing that happened to Florida with LSU. Kyle Pitts wasn't playing.
Yeah, exactly. So Mike, what is your solution to – they need to expand it, right? Yes. But do you think the group of five – I mean, obviously you cover UCF a lot. Do you think the group of five and those type teams should have their own little playoff system, or do you think they should be part of the big boys, take the five conference champs and then have three other or however many you want to do
it? Obviously, they want to be with the big boys because they get the big boy money. They get a share of that bit. Even when they're not in the playoff with a four-team playoff, they get a share of the playoff money. That's why they're not going to have their own playoff, because they want a share of the big boy playoff. But if there's an eight-team playoff, absolutely they should be included. Again, not every – like if you have a 10-2 group of five team. No, I'm not saying that they deserve to be in, but when you have undefeated group of five teams that are pretty damn good teams, like UCF was 3 years ago, like Cincinnati has been, go all the way back to Utah when Urban Meyer was there. They could have beaten anybody in the country that year when they had Alex Smith at quarterback and they were running that spread offense really before anybody else was running it. So yes, they should be included. And they would easily be included in an 18 playoff. The five conference champions of the Power Five, a couple of at-larges, get Texas A&M in, and then Cincinnati gets in.
Yeah. Okay, so yesterday also some news came out about Florida football program with a couple of recruiting violations. I believe it's a NCAA Level 2. Give us a thumbnail of what all this means, because it's very confusing. I guess it's a little more serious than I want to admit it is, but I think Coach Mullen has now a show cause. Explain to our people what all that means.
A show cause is what it is. It's embarrassing more than anything. A show cause penalty means if Dan Mullen, for some reason, were to leave the University of Florida right now, another school couldn't hire him, all right, because he would have this show cause on his record, and the school would have to say, show a reason why we can hire this guy when he's committed NCAA violations. Are these serious violations? No, but they were. Here's why they're serious, in my opinion, because they were knowingly committed. All right. Dan Mullen knew these were violations and he still committed them. Even if they're minor violations, he still committed them. So in that respect, I think it's serious. And here's the other reason I think it's not good for Florida, because it's embarrassing. And Dan Mullen has not had a good year when it comes to public relations this season. I mean, from the comments he made after Texas A&M to the melee against Missouri to saying that, hey, we should be able to practice on election day. All of this stuff sort of adds up. And I don't think Dan Mullen is the beloved coach than he was at the beginning of this season. I think he's had some PR issues, and this adds to that.
So you don't think Coach Mullen's the right guy for our program right now?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's had – I mean, you have to admit, Shane, he's had some PR issues this year. He's sort of stepped in it a few times, and this is the latest one.
Yep. Do you think there's any chance Dan Mullen goes to the National Football League?
I'll tell you what, if I were the Jacksonville Jaguars and I'm getting Trevor Lawrence, I would certainly, I mean, Dan Mullen has proven he can develop quarterbacks, all right? He can, we know his record of developing quarterbacks. If I'm getting a Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, I'd make a call to Dan Mullen. Damn right I would. I mean, I think he's a heck of a football coach. I think he's a heck of an offensive coach. He's obviously able to adapt his offense. He certainly did that when he put Kyle Trask in. So do I think he will? I think he would consider it. I certainly did. Yeah. Don't you?
Possibly. I mean, gosh, if you're gonna leave, I mean, you stay in the state of Florida, no state taxes, and you're gonna have the most NFL ready quarterback to ever come out of college football. I mean, it would be tempting, but
plus the Jaguars have loads of draft picks too.
Right,
they can rebuild really quickly in Jacksonville.
Yeah, so I'm hoping not for our team's sake. Mackenzie Milton, you covered a lot of him. I thought he was a phenomenal player. Just the horrible injury. He's back now, and he is now transferring and going to try to start at Florida State. I assume he's 100%. I know he was practicing a little bit with UCF, but is he 100%? And do you think he's their quarterback next year?
Well, if he's 100%, I think he's going to be their quarterback. But no, he's not 100%. I talked to him right after he announced he was transferring. He's not, even though he ran UCF scout team last year as a quarterback, obviously he wasn't getting tackled. There was no contact there. He's not been cleared yet for full contact. Now, He's supposed to go up to the Mayo Clinic for one final meeting with his doctors and surgeons at the beginning of January. He said it's just sort of understood that he's going to be cleared. So he says he's going to be fully cleared and ready to play for spring ball and ready to compete for the job. If that's the case and he's 100%, I don't think there's any question he's their quarterback. Because again, he was magical at UCF. He was one of the top quarterbacks in the country. Obviously, FSU's offensive line may be an issue, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know that he had, Alabama and Clemson or even Florida weren't calling him, all right? So Florida State was probably his best option.
Yeah. We did get some good news yesterday, too, on the Keontae Johnson situation. He's checked out of the hospital, going home with his family. Good gracious, thank goodness for that.
Oh, God, that was so scary when you're watching that Florida State game. And he collapses, and you're thinking the worst, obviously, thinking about Hank Gathers years and years ago when he collapsed on the court. Thank God he's okay. Thank God it looks like he's fine. I mean, I saw the video that he put out a few days ago. He looks like he's fine. I don't know if he's probably not going to play for the Gators this year. I don't know if he is or not, but it looks like he's going to be able to play basketball again at some point.
Yeah. Last thing before we let you go, with the 14 playoff, who do you – I'm assuming you're going to say the same thing, Alabama, Clemson for the national title.
Yeah, I think so. Those are the two best teams. They've been the two best programs over the last, 6 or 7 years. Trevor Lawrence obviously makes, Notre Dame never beats Trevor. They would have never beaten Clemson had Trevor Lawrence been the quarterback. Although Clemson scored a bunch of points against Notre Dame when they lost to him. So, but yeah, I think, you've got the best quarterback in college football back playing for his program. Both those teams are loaded. Isn't that who you think?
Oh, there's no question. And I think it would be a heck of a game. I don't know who I would pick right now because I think Clemson is very powerful with Trevor Lawrence and ETN in the backfield. But, gosh, Sarkisian's dialed them up perfectly all year long with the talent he has on offense. So it would be a hell of a game. Last thing, do you realize that ever since Dooley and Robbie Andrew retired, the Gators are 1-2?
Oh, yeah. Blame Dooley. It's his fault. His fault.
There's no question.
By the way, do you see what Dooley's doing now?
What? He's doing a podcast too, right?
So have you ever heard of this social media thing called Cameo?
I'm on Cameo.
Okay, but you're a famous Gator quarterback. Dooley's a former sports writer, right? He's on Cameo trying to charge people $59 to say happy birthday to it. Who the hell is going to pay $59 for Pat Dooley to say happy birthday? I might pay him for Shane Matthews or Danny Werfel or somebody like that if I were a Gator fan. Not Dooley.
Dooley. Well, I'm sure Dooley has his little fan club. There's no question about that. Mikey, hey, man, I know you're traveling. I appreciate you taking the time. Let everybody know how they can listen to you in the Orlando area.
You can listen to me. Just download that iHeartRadio app. It's free. Search for 96.9 The Game in Orlando. You can listen to me 6 to 9 a.m. every morning. You can also find me at OrlandoSentinel.com and on Twitter at Bianchi Writes.
All right, Bianchi. Those Interlocking Rams, they're going to be coming calling. They need you, my man. They
damn right. You. We are the Rams, the mighty, mighty Rams. Do it to them. Do it to them.
That's Mike Bianchi. We appreciate your time, my man. Take care.
See you, Shainer.
We're going to take our final time out of this Wednesday edition of Potto with Matthews in the Morning. We'll be right back.
Hey, Gator Nation. This is your former head ball coach, Steve Spurrier. Check out our show, Inside the Huddle with Shane Matthews and Steve Russell, every Tuesday during football season on 850 AM and 98.1 FM WRUF at 10 o'clock AM.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Aver and Smith Personal Injury Attorneys, Orange Theory Fitness, PRP Regeneration Specialist, and Dowling Signs. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, you can visit our website, potupwithshane.com, and click the advertise button or call Freddie at 352-284-3733. Again, thank you for all the great businesses that support the show. Please remember, if you like what we are doing here, thank our sponsors and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Really want to thank JC for joining our program today. Also, our good friend Mike Bianchi from the Orlando Sentinel. Join us. He's on the road traveling. We appreciate it. He's a character. There's no question about that. And make sure you follow his show whenever you can. He does a tremendous job in the Orlando area. Make sure you tell all your friends to follow us and like us on Facebook Live, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. On Thursday's show, which will be a Christmas Eve edition, we'll have our good friend Brent Beard talking college football. Tell us some news and notes, what's going on around the world. And we'll also do our Baker Sporting Goods High School Roundup, kind of seal up the end of high school football with all the state championships awarded last week. Today's show's a wrap, brought to you by Rap Spot. Be safe out there, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.